Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to the Fade to Gray Network.
Check, check.
I sit here playing my guitar, thinking about you.
To another episode of Open Mic, and those sweet tunes you were hearing at the beginning were none other than Devin Shelton from Palmetto, which is a side project with Toby Morell. Both, I would say, share the title of lead singer of Emery. That would be my first question, Devin, sure. Is are you the lead singer of Emery?
I guess a co-lead singer, but yeah, I mean, Toby ultimately probably sings a little more than I do, but it's probably like a, you know, 60-40 split. But yeah, we're both the lead singer / bass player.
Yeah. And been around since the 90s, the band Emery. And
yeah.
So how long technically have you been in the band? And I know that you were not in the band for a while too, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the, me, Matt, and Toby are the three founding members. And so we started the band at the end of 2000, beginning of 2001. So right towards the end of our college careers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I took a hiatus for about 4 or 5 years from like 2011 to 2015, 16.
Okay. That's interesting. And you're back.
I am back.
So what led to the hiatus? Is it just normal family stuff coming up, other responsibilities? And
yeah, we were having our first child. So my wife was pregnant with our daughter. And I was just like, yeah, it's just going to be hard. So I got to at least stay home to see how all this works. with yeah. with kids.
That's you know? Hard. A hard transition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I just felt like it was probably the right thing to do for my wife, you know, being all of our spouses are different in some ways. So my wife, I just felt like that was probably the best thing to do at the time, you know, so. But yeah, they kept going and I came back.
That's awesome.
So what were you doing in that 5 years? Like working at Home Depot or what kind of?
Well, I had a friend, it was pretty typical. I mean, I got a job at a church. So I was already kind of helping there just in my time off, you know, like playing and helping lead and stuff like that. And then when I quit the band, I was able to kind of work part-time at two different churches for a while and then eventually got hired on full-time at one of them.
So you kept doing music at least. So that's cool.
Yeah, I was music the whole time, yeah.
Right on. So Palmetto.
Yeah.
I was introduced to you guys. You and Toby were doing a Emory Songs and Stories live tour at a little coffee bar. Really interesting. Very, very Christian coffee shop feel with satanic things all over the wall. It was different.
Yeah, but, I wouldn't call it a Christian coffee shop, but yeah, similar, vibe. Just the opposite end of it.
Yeah. Good coffee, but yeah. I remember you and Toby telling the stories and playing the songs, and I think you did two or three songs off at that point it was just a side project. You had not released any music for Palmetto at that point.
And, right.
You played the song, The Good Man. It was talking about your father. And I just remember that really pulled at my heartstrings. Just the concept or the idea, can a good man do bad things? And wrestling with, or can a bad man do good things? And what is that? And tell the listeners a little bit more about the songwriting process, I guess, of that and how the good man came to be.
Can he go back and make wrongs right? Cause sometimes life makes sense to me, but sometimes I question everything. Thank you. find God when he's dying? Can he hold the memories in his hand? Can redemption carry him into the promised land?
Sure. So my dad, he had a stroke last May, and he had been living alone for the past few years because my mom passed away. And so, and my dad's, you know, he's a great dad to me. Like, I've always had a good relationship with him, ultimately. I mean, it's, you know, it's relatively shallow, I guess you could say, to some degree. I mean, my dad and I joke around all the time. It's usually just laughs and fun stuff for the most part. I mean, obviously I've seen some worse stuff throughout the years, but nothing crazy. I mean, he was a preacher most of his life, like at least all of his life that I knew him, for the most part. And, but I knew he had a past. He was an alcoholic, had, you know, he was abusive, you know, to his first wife and my mom to some degree. And then, so going back, he had a stroke last year. And, you know, it's just one of those things when you go through a situation where family members die or have health concerns. You know, you really start kind of thinking about just life, you know, in general, and just kind of what that means. And you kind of reflect on your relationship with whoever that person is. And so with my dad, like I said, our relationship was always good. I mean, he was a good example for me. He was a preacher, always, you know, he always set a pretty good example for me. It was relatively strict in our household, really conservative. But it wasn't like uptight, you know what I mean? It wasn't like...
Yeah, I think a lot of our listeners can identify the traditional conservative Christian family with...
Right,
You're a preacher's son, a preacher kid, a PK is a to call him.
Right, and I never really had the whole rebellious time that, you know, people say typically preacher's kids have. I don't know, I just never really had that. Could have been fear that my dad would have beat me to death.
Are you sure Emery, it wasn't your rebellious stage and you just never left it?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, when we did start Emery, my mom was concerned. You know, it's like, you guys are playing in bars and stuff. You know, like, they just thought that was not necessarily the right thing to do.
Hey, they were right. Look.
I know. Hellions now.
Now you have pornography on your albums. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, I've always had a good relationship with Dad, but I knew about his past. I have older siblings who experienced some of that with my dad. Stepdad. So, and then I have one younger sister, so her and I are full-blooded, but we're all close. And so I've heard stories. They kind of tried to protect me and my sister from some of those past instances, which I can understand. But ultimately, as we grow up, you learn more about all that stuff and they feel more comfortable sharing with you. And so I knew most of that past, like his alcoholism and, you know, even a little bit of the abuse, you know. But, you know, him and my mom had... I would call it a good relationship, but obviously, you know, it was pretty rocky at times, like, especially when I was a little younger, just kind of knowing, like, they would get in a huge argument or whatever, and mom or dad would disappear for most of that day, and just kind of uncertainty about that. And so, you know, there was always that in my mind to some degree, like, maybe dad was abusive or maybe he wasn't. So, but then as you get older, you really learn these things and how he was and all this stuff. And ultimately, they had a good relationship. They loved each other. Mom, you know, she stayed with him through all that stuff. And they ended up together until she died. And so, but there was beauty in their relationship, too. You know what I mean? It was like, it was not all bad. And so that's what's hard. I think that's what's hard for people to understand, too. When you see someone in an abusive relationship, of course you would... In the moment, that would be the right thing to do, is that person to get out of that relationship or or something, or, you know, just for them to go through therapy or whatever the case might be. But then, you know, the fact that they stuck it out even beyond all that and 20, 30 years later have a real, you know, kind of a beautiful relationship that they have forgiveness and all this stuff. And so, anyway, kind of that story to say, as my dad's kind of going through all this therapy and uncertainty of like, is he going to make it? Is he going to get back to where he was? Is he even going to survive? you know, I just kind of started reflecting on all that and just the idea of, even though he's a preacher, you know, was he really even a good man? You know, was it even a thing to where, was he a good man that just did bad stuff, or is he actually a bad person ultimately? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's not to say we can't make mistakes, of course, but that's just kind of a reflection of that whole thing.
It's a beautiful song and really
thank you.
Deep. It's hard to listen to without crying for myself.
Yeah.
Just as I've listened to yeah. it a few times. I mean, I've listened to it a few times, and it's just every time I'm like, oh man, that just hits you right in the feels.
Yeah. Well, I mean, me too. I mean, when we play it at those shows, well, you know, you guys were there. I mean, we have fun. Like, we like it to keep it light and we like to have fun, but
yeah.
obviously there's some deeper, darker moments,
yeah.
which is kind of the way our band is anyway.
Yeah, it's fair. You're,
and there's been
that's what Emo
plenty
is,
of
right?
people crying at the shows. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the song, much like your answer to it, Devin, I mean, is honest and it's real and mm-hmm. it's deep. And I think that's why Elizabeth and, you know, myself can connect to it so emotionally and on the level. And you can tell that it's there, even though maybe it's not overtly like a religious song, but you can tell the wrestle with religion is in there, you know.
And oh, sure,
I think
yeah.
that, I think that for me is why I identified so instantly to it, you know, because mm-hmm. I think anybody who grew up remotely close to something like religious Christianity, whatever it might be, like there's always been rules of how you need to live and how you need to match up to. And I think everyone has always found themselves lacking and struggling and knowing like, you know, like, am I a good person? And most of the time, right. like, unfortunately, in a lot of our churches, we were learned that we're, or taught, I should say, that we were all bad people. And,
right.
and it wasn't like for myself until afterwards, just like, no, I can, you know, be good on my own. It's not just God in me that makes me good. I can choose good. And I think.
Sure. That's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think, I guess for me, I think there's a part of me that kind of thinks that we are all kind of bad, you know, to some degree. Like, a part of that's probably, you know, just the church foundation that I've had. But also, I tend to think that I'm just generally pessimistic about people. You know what I mean? Like, and not okay. even like not even in a really bad way. I don't think everybody's a horrible person. I just think people generally are going to let you down in some way. And that's just normal. That's part of life. It's not like I'm gonna let my wife and kids down, not intentionally, but just because that's just kind of what happens. And it's not even like even. And what I mean by that is not even all that bad. You know what I mean? It's not even like. And using the word bad is it has such strong connotations, but ultimately I just mean a person who has a lot. Everybody's a weak person. You know what I mean? Everybody has things that they just fall apart on them, and so. But my idea for it is like it can be really beautiful too. You know what I mean? The weaknesses and all that stuff are part of what makes us great. You know, it makes humans yeah. great. It's not that we're all really good people looking to do really good things all the time, but obviously that's in there. And most of the time people are probably looking for an easy way out for whatever, you know what I mean? From whatever they're in, whatever situation they're in, they're usually we think about ourselves first and then someone else next. And it really takes a lot of training and self discipline for us to get beyond that. So that's just kind of the way I kind of view it. And not even like everybody's terrible.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I mean? Not to be super cynical either, and we won't go down this rabbit hole for too long. But Yeah. Like when you cast the net for looking for people who want the easy way out and sell Christianity as that way, that's what you're going to fill the churches with. When it's exactly. Everything is your golden ticket to heaven, you know, and that's your easy way out of, you know, all of your sin and everything you've done wrong and evil.
And
that's why you want to be a Christian. Then when the actual real work comes and actually loving people is not just lip service, then that's where things kind of start to fall apart a little bit.
We don't like our life in the valley. We want to be on the mountaintop.
I know, exactly. And although I love old hymns and stuff, but it's funny because some of them, I'm just like, we're singing them, not anymore as much as when I was growing up. But, you know, like a song, like a Southern gospel song, like I'll Fly Away, you know.
Yeah.
That song has nothing to do with even like doing anything good for God. It just says, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, I'll be in heaven. It's basically what it says. It has nothing to do with even, it only has to do with.
Jenna, dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far.
Yeah, it's basically like, get me out of here as quickly as possible is the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff you grow up with. And it's like, what is this? It doesn't even mean anything. Anyway, yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
Let's talk about Where Are You Going?
Yeah.
Tell us the story behind that song. And then I want to ask some details on who is that lovely female voice singing? Because Emery doesn't have a female voice.
Yeah, so... No, we don't. So Toby wrote a side project album a few years ago, basically just, you know, kind of in a spare time kind of thing where it was almost like a, I think it was basically like a story. Like he even almost finished a movie script about it. Someone helped him, but
cool.
It was about this guy who basically had been a pretty thriving, I think, Christian artist to some degree. And I think he had like a crossover hit and ended up kind of going that direction and got disowned by all the Christians and then wasn't successful enough in the secular market or whatever. And so ultimately ended up playing in bars, really lonely, just jaded kind of guy. And so that's the main character. And so we decided to use that for this. And so that song specifically is about him and his daughter. So obviously the first part's Toby singing the dad and then the daughter. So it's about, and also part of the story is his daughter is a musician too. And they have a kind of a broken relationship. And then it ends up kind of being a thing to where she has a broken relationship with her husband, obviously. So it kind of goes down the line to where they're both kind of broken and they end up kind of playing shows together. So it's anyway, so and that song specifically is about kind of them talking to each other about life and the relationship.
Girl, where you going and where have you been? Your candle's been burning too long at both ends. The heart we lost ain't the worst of our sins, but the flesh it cost won't come back. This world don't stop people from changing. They come and go. It feels right, but you're just rearranging the pieces of your life. We'll supposed to be both of our friends. My mother's voice caught in my throat again. Had the ones you love, so you feel like a man. Oh, this world don't stop.
Sang the vocals for that part.
Yeah, who's the singer there?
Yeah, her name is Gretel. Yeah, she's great. Her name is Gretel, and she's in a band, like a local band in Seattle that Matt knows really well. They're called Handsome and Gretel.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. So they're both really talented. I think her husband, his name's Brett, he played with Matt and Toby a couple times on like a Matt and Toby tour, and ended up, you know, that she was just a super good singer and she was into doing it. So
it That's fit cool. really well. It was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Great. Their voices were great together. I love harmonies like that. I don't know. It just, I love the back and forth and
yeah,
it gives me goosebumps when voices meld like that. I just love it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you.
Well, where are you going? Where are we going?
I
now
don't know.
That we are done with that song, what's the next question? So I jumped the gun. I was going to start with this one, and I don't know if I want to save it for the end, because I think out of the four tracks you sent me, I guess on this EP, you would call it, for Palmetto.
Yeah.
I Sit Here is definitely my favorite. And I mean, it has such a cool feel. I wouldn't even know what type of like genre to put it in. They're right off the bat, you're dropping F-bombs and sort of like kind of like a coffee shop sort of feel song. And then 2 minutes in, you sampled some sort of recording in the background. And what is that recording?
It's like a old time preacher, you know, just like a church service that we found.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about this song here that the listeners are about to hear, because like I said, on the EP, what drew me to it was Good Man, but listening to all the tracks, I think my favorite is definitely I Sit Here. So,
yeah, I mean, it's similar to what, Where Are You Going? I mean, it's the same story. It's the same character. It's that jaded musician. And, this song is about a little bit more of his, response back to all those people who kind of disowned him, from the Christian world and from the church, kind of telling him who he's supposed to be. And he obviously doesn't hear it. So he doesn't want to hear it. So that's basically, you know, that's where he says, you know, the part that obviously came out of nowhere for a lot of people, but it's, you know, I don't know if I can cuss on here or not, but
yeah, you're good.
He says,
okay. No, this is definitely G-rated.
No, he's, so, you know, for those who haven't heard the song, I mean, I guess everybody listening will have heard the song by now, but he says, you know, fuck you, for what you did, fuck me for what I didn't say. So it's basically that give and take of that relationship, that the push and pull of them forcing themselves on him, the responsibility, the expectations, and him not really saying what he really felt. And so this was his time to say what he felt. It's kind of like his sermon back to them after, you know.
I sit here playing my guitar, thinking about you. My time in these bars, reliving truth. Oh, fuck you for the things that you did. Oh, said she needed some help, had some bills to pay. But the world don't give a shit, no, about your problems. It just takes and takes and takes and keeps on revolving. But I know just where I'm going. I never ever needed anyone to hold me. And I said, hey, all that you know is that when you're hungry, whatever's in that pot fed you. If you won't walk out that door, if you wanna know the truth, well, here it is. When you're face down and broken, and nothing's left, no words to be spoken, what do you do? At the bottom of that drink, and you ask yourself, why is there reason not to die? Could you tell yourself that? Thinking about you, I waste my time in these bars, reliving truth.
Does this have any personal, I realize you said this is part of a script, but does this have any personal implications? Do you guys have any experience with this type of thing personally?
Not specifically, but obviously, you know, with Emery and the Bad Christian Podcast and all that stuff, I mean, obviously there's hints of this type of thing in at least me and Toby's lives and maybe even the other guys as well. You know, Toby and I grew up in the same type of church, very legalistic, very fundamental, you know, women couldn't wear pants, makeup, jewelry, you know, was kept in their place to some degree, you know, and couldn't go to movie theaters, all this really weird stuff, you know. And so
they wear culottes. Was it a culotte church?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it was, looking back, it's just so crazy. I mean, but you know, when you're young and you're a kid, that's all you know, and
you don't know any
South.
Better. Yeah, it's just reality.
And it, you know, it's not like they were trying to hurt us. It's just what they thought was the right thing, and a lot of people still do, and that's fine. It's just, it just seems so silly now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no specific stories, but like, you know. My dad was a preacher. Toby's grandpa was a preacher that is fire and brimstone and everything.
Paul was a preacher.
Paul, he calls him Paul, you know. And so, fire and brimstone and everything, you know. If you're not with us, you're going to hell, basically, thing. So it all stems from somewhere, you know, in our past.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Hell in a Bucket, or Hell in Her Kiss, maybe even. I don't know. You like that transition that, there?
That was just a pop country song, man, trying to sell.
Well, I mean, I feel like I may already have my answer, because I'm seeing a trend here with Where Are You Going, and I Sit Here, it being told from a fictional person's story, I guess, point of view. So, but I mean, it's a pretty saucy song, and I'm wanting to know, was it about your wife? But I mean, I was kind of scared to ask, because if it wasn't, I was like, I don't know, am I cracking something open here? So, like, you're answering pretty honestly. If you need to be, like, you know, less honest about this one.
To be fair, we both had this question separately, and pre-recording, we were comparing notes. Oh, and yeah? Like, he gets to this That's song, funny. And I'm like, this That's is my funny. Question. And we're like, yeah, we have the same question.
No, this wasn't the same character from the script or even my personal life. It wasn't my wife or anything. This was literally a song I wrote probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago at least. So we used to receive these emails from someone who worked at EMI, which is EMI owns Tooth & Nail, the bigger umbrella label, and they also own some other big labels too, and they had a bunch of country artists and most country artists don't write their own music, or either they collaborate with a team. And so me and Toby were getting these country music lists every month or so of artists looking for songs. And so we would submit songs, you know, every couple months. And so this was one of the songs I submitted that didn't get picked up, that I always really liked, and I just thought it was kind of catchy, and so that was just one of those. It's basically a made up story about a, you know, woman who's got him, you know.
I was just a simple man floating on a breeze, until she came along and complicated things. At first sight it was love, then love turned into pain. Now I'm stuck inside this civil war with my heart and my head. She's got me all turned inside out. I wish that I was sure, but you know I've got my doubts. So if I could be much stronger still, I know this broken heart will heal in time. She's always on my mind. 'Cause she's got eyes like a saint with the devil's lips. So easy to hate, but so hard to resist. I never thought my heart could hurt like this. She's got heaven in her smile. Me with her words, with every passing chance, then resurrects my heart with just a single glance. She swore that she would change about 1,000 times. I swore that I would leave, but I never say goodbye. She's got me all turned inside out. I wish that I was sure, but you know I've got my doubts. So if I could be much stronger still, I know this broken heart will heal in time. She's always on my mind. 'Cause she's got eyes like a saint with the devil's lips. So so hard to resist. I never thought my heart could hurt like this. She's got heaven in her smile. kiss.
I think it's a great country song. I'm glad you were able to keep it. I hope it goes viral. It's a great song.
Thanks. Yeah, it's more of our just kind of the, you know, kind of the catchy country-ish, more so than the other ones, obviously. So
yeah.
Yeah, so what is the plan with Palmetto? I mean, obviously it's just a side project that you and Toby are working on. I mean, I heard, you know, like it. Okay, here's my question. So I listen to Bad Christian Podcast, you know, fairly regularly as well, and I heard, you know, you guys announce it there, or Matt announced it, you know, for you guys, that it can be found on Emeryland. And yeah, the way it was announced, it sounded like Matt had quite a lot to do with this project. And so, but
yeah,
I kind of got the impression, like, in when you guys were on tour, that like you have been working on this for a while, you and Toby. Like, right. And so, question,
like, who's
is
involved?
yeah. Well, yeah, Matt was definitely involved. He's always involved in the production of the records.
Okay,
I mean,
that makes sense.
No matter what it is, like my own, you know, solo album that I released years ago is R&B or whatever. And whatever Toby does, Matt's always kind of there with helping with production and pre-production, all that stuff. So he's great at arranging, help, you know, kind of give you a little bit of perspective on, different things within that. So, Toby and I we're really raw. We write the songs. We just kind of throw over what we have and say, this is a song, I think this is going to be good. And then Matt basically takes it from there and turns it into what it is. And then we just kind of go back and forth until we have what we want. So,
like, with arrangements or like with the music theory behind it? Like,
yeah, I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, Matt and I went to school for music, so we kind of speak the same language, mm-hmm, as far as music theory and all that stuff. Production wise, Matt's way beyond me and Toby. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. Toby and I just can kind of do the bare minimum. So, usually we'll send him a session with an acoustic, you know, basically the acoustic version of the song, with maybe a click track or whatever. And then he'll just basically build the song from there.
Okay.
So him and Dave are both in Seattle. They record drums out there and all that stuff. And so it's just kind of building. And that's what Matt is really good at. 'Cause a lot of times, you know, we'll explain to Matt what we're looking for, what we have in our mind. I'm a really visual person. So I'm like, look, I got this idea, you know, I think this is going to be really cool. And then Matt's good at kind of translating that into what that will be musically, and different instruments and stuff. So he's always involved in that way. Now, I will say that, so when Toby and I did those shows, when you guys were there and the other ones, our plan was to have this be a side project band. That was what we were going to do.
That's the impression I got, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were going to do. And we were just going to release it to Emeryland just as bonus stuff. And but we decided to just release it as an Emery release. Awesome. So it's just Emery doing these songs. Like, it's basically just an Emery experimental type thing. So we called it Palmetto, just like as the EP, basically.
Are you going to go on tour and as a full band and play some of these songs, you think, or like maybe put a couple in while you're touring in the future? Or what do you think you might do?
I doubt we would play it on a regular tour. However, I mean, we are looking more into, like, we scheduled a show in April in Seattle, and it's like a special musical type of thing.
Hope there's not more than 150 people.
Well, that was the amount of tickets. That was the amount of tickets that we made available, but that's still even a thing that we're like, well, we might have to just call it off, just depending. So obviously before all this stuff happened, so that's our goal. Yeah, but
that's a Corona joke. If someone's listening to this years in advance and they're like, well, what did everybody freak out and buy toilet paper for anyway?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely going to affect shows moving forward for the next several months.
Definitely
so we'll
will.
See. But that one specifically, we wanted to make that a show that we could play Palmetto songs, and we would play alternative Emory versions of songs. Like we did this album called Revival, where it was like alternate versions of our past songs, and yeah. So we're gonna do stuff like that. And I mean, Emory's always kind of evolving, and we're always looking to try new things and move in a certain direction. So. If for some reason one of these songs did do well and became something more than it is, then we would consider being a band called Palmetto. Like maybe Toby and I would actually start the band, and Matt and Dave would probably play with us or something like that.
Be cool.
But for now, it's just like, this is just out there kind of under the Emory Land umbrella. And then we'll just kind of go from there.
That's cool.
I'm glad it is. And
yeah, thanks.
You guys put on a really good show. I was telling you before we started recording that when me and Elizabeth saw you, even though maybe it was a weird vibe in the venue, kind of the way the seating was and everything, but you guys just rolled with it. And when you got going, I was like, this is kind of the exact vibe I'm looking for open mic when we're doing the podcast, right. Trying to take that coffee shop storyteller, I'm gonna sing this song and tell you why I wrote it, just get into it, being real vulnerable like you were today. And you captured that so well. So if you guys have not got a chance to see Emory, either the full band or acoustic, or you know, Matt and Toby, or Toby and Devin, or any of them, like I really recommend it. Like, you guys have been doing this now for like what, 2 decades?
And
it shows. It really shows. You guys capture an audience. You guys, it just has a, doesn't have a big production feel. Like every time I've seen you guys, it's full energy. You know, you guys are older than me and you're screaming at me, and I don't know why, but I like it, but I kind of like it. You know, I'm just like, I don't know.
I love it. It's my style of music. So, I love it.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, we like to try everything. I mean, we've done acoustic stuff throughout the years occasionally, and then over the past probably 5 years, it's become more common, you know. So we just like to do it. It's easy for me and Toby to jump in a rental car and go for 4 or 5 days, and it's just fun for us. And so we'll continue to do that for sure.
So I encourage our listeners to check you guys out live. I mean, obviously, if you like what you hear today, where can they get this? Can you only get the Palmetto EP or album through Emoryland? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, for now. So basically the way it works is we give out one EP every quarter, every 3 months, to people in Emoryland. And so the people in Emoryland have gotten in there through a couple of different ways. We had an Indiegogo that they could purchase, like basically the album that we're making right now. And then also through the website, it's like a monthly thing. And so, there's probably 1500 people in there. And we just put the links in our private Discord channel. We put extra music in there and all that stuff. But at the end of each year, we'll release a full album to the public. And so Palmetto won't be on that album, but we'll probably put that on Spotify or something like that, to where people could hear that too at some point, you know.
Very cool. This has been a blast. Do you have anything else, babe?
Thanks, man.
No.
No, everybody.
Devin, you respond to babe. That's nice.
I thought I heard.
I like you too, Devin, but I'm glad the feeling's neutral. You know,
I'm used to that. So yeah.
I guess besides Emoryland, are there any social media platforms people can follow you guys on? I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, we have, emorymusic.com is our website. That's where you can see all the details about what we're doing. And then, we have all the normal social media stuff, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I guess we don't have TikTok yet. That's Toby's job.
I think Toby's dipped his toe into some TikTok.
He's not doing it. He just does his own TikToks. We're like, just make an Emory TikTok. And he's like, So he hasn't done that yet, but we have the normal stuff. So they could search Emory, and we'll be in there somewhere.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, you guys are a lot of fun. And I mean, I'll go ahead and we mentioned it already, but I'll also plug the Bad Christian podcast. You know, Toby's part of that.
Cool.
Palmetto, yeah. Emery. All you guys are fun. And we met you a handful of times. Every time it's been a blast. So
thanks, man. Appreciate
you
guys.
Keep doing your thing and best of luck to you, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't forget the 5 W's, man.
What's the 5 W's?
We are washing and waving and wiping and whoa, don't touch our face. All right.
That's okay. It.
This episode was edited by Omar. As always, we're brought to you by the patrons of the Fade to Gray Network. To become a member of our Patreon, head over to patreon.com/fadetograypodcast. And since you have nothing better to do while you're self-quarantining, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give Fade to Gray a 5-star rating and review. We know that with the coronavirus, you're probably experiencing a lot of trauma. Why not put your mind at ease by listening to Seth's new podcast, Mental? And for a fun time, check out The Movies That Molded Me. All this and more from the Fade to Gray Network. Thanks for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.